Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah, and I have to say, Michelle Perry, that is an understatement. To the best of your ability, you live for him 24/7. And I asked your mom, I said, were you a loving person most of your life? And she said, yes. where do you suppose that, I know it came from God, but most people are bitter that are born without missing one hip, missing one kidney, having a rod in their spine and in pain constantly. How do you get all this joy with you have enough to feel, I give you permission to feel sorry for yourself.
Well, you know, I've never had another leg, so it's not like I lost one. You know, mine just hasn't arrived yet. It's on its way.
You have to tell me again about the parts room. You see, Jesus took her to heaven, and she saw, and I've had a lot of guests that have told me about, I haven't been to heaven yet. I will one day, but I haven't been to heaven yet. But many people have told me about this parts room with the body parts. Tell me, what does it look like?
It looks kind of like a warehouse. And it just has got, it's got shelves with different, like, eyeballs on it, and it's different hearts beating and lungs breathing, and it just, it's really kind of sci-fi-ish. It's a little bit freaky.
So why don't we see more people get their body parts here on Earth? It's there for that purpose.
I think that we're walking into a day where we're going to. I mean, the past revivals have seen a lot of creative miracles, and I believe we're walking into another wave of God's Spirit that we're going to begin to see that become the norm.
It's my belief that heaven is drawing closer to earth, and what we read in the Bible will be the norm, and our experience, especially here in North America, will be the exception.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And did Jesus actually tell you you would be getting new body parts?
All I knew is he sent it to shipping, which must mean it's on its way.
How long ago was that?
That was in 2003.
So it's kind of, maybe you should send him the postage. No, I'm just teasing.
Well, I had a friend that was praying one day, and she also got taken up into this room, and she did not know my experience. She was asking about different things, and she said, hey, do you have any parts for Michelle Perry? Just ask. And the angel that she talked to said, nope, sorry, they've already been sent to shipping. And so she asked where it was going, and his reply was Africa.
Now, on yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about you were in Toronto. You thought the Toronto airport was an airport, and you found out it was a church. and you had quite an encounter with Jesus there. He showed you his heart for the orphans and the hurting people around the world. But why were you crying so much there?
I think because I was encountering more of his heart, and he was enlarging my heart. And sometimes visitation isn't always a warm, fuzzy experience. Sometimes it's heart-rending, and it hurts because he's enlarging you to be able to carry more of him, and that's not always comfortable. And I just was overwhelmed with his presence, and I don't even know. I just was. I really don't.
So you're on the plane trip back. You're basking in the glory of God, in the presence of God, and there's no one seated next to you, and all of a sudden someone takes the seat. Tell me about that someone and that what this person said to you.
Well, I saw Jesus walk onto the plane, and he sat down.
How was he dressed? Was he dressed in a business suit or?
No, jeans and a T-shirt.
Okay, so he was in revival mode.
He was in revival mode, yeah.
Okay.
And I saw him, and I knew it was him, and I don't think anybody else saw him, but I saw him, and he was there. And in the middle of the plane, we got up to cruising altitude, and it was like I looked up, and I saw the ceiling of the plane disappear, which I was kind of looking around to see if anybody else was freaking out, because it was a little freaky to be in a plane and have the ceiling disappear. It's a tad bit odd. And, well, nobody else seemed to be bothered, so I figured it was just me. And when I looked up, it was like I was immediately with Jesus in heaven, and then he was dressed more like the robe and the things that you normally see. But
let me get this. Initially, though, he came on, and he just sat next to you?
Mm-hmm.
Did he say anything?
No. He just smiled.
Did you know it was him?
Oh, yeah.
Even though he was in revival gear, but okay.
It's his eyes. You can recognize his eyes anywhere.
Oh, tell me about his eyes. I haven't seen his eyes.
Well, they're so filled with love, you could just drown in them. And, you know, he's not the fair-haired, blonde-haired kind of little pansy small guy that we see in most of the paintings. I mean, he looks very Middle Eastern. He looks Jewish. I mean, imagine that. And I mean, he had dark hair and he had dark eyes. And when you look into his eyes, it's like the irises around his pupil are like mosaics. They look dark from a distance, but when you get up close, they're like mosaics of every color an eye could have all in one. And just, they're the most beautiful, beautiful thing you will ever see. And so, I mean, you can just recognize him.
Okay, so the top of the plane disappears.
I just saw it disappear over where I was sitting, and it was like this vacuum tunnel suction thing right up into the throne room.
Was there anything scary about it?
No, not really. Not really once I figured out that the top of the plane was probably still there in the natural.
Okay, so you find yourself in heaven with Jesus.
Yeah, and we started to dance because I love to dance, and I always have two legs in heaven, so I never have crutches in heaven, and so I like to go there quite frequently.
Do you have any pain?
No, none.
I wouldn't think so.
Not a bit, and so it's a good vacation.
Do you go there often?
As often as I can.
Is it, can you, during prayer, will yourself to go to heaven, or are you taken, or...
I believe that you can position yourself to be able to experience more of God's presence, and you can positionally put yourself there by faith, but you can't make anything happen. I mean, it's Holy Spirit that shows you things.
Okay, you have your two legs.
So I have my two legs, and Jesus and I were dancing, and all of a sudden the scene changed, and we were dancing on the trash heaps of the world and on the leper colonies and the refugee camps and the red light districts and wherever people were broken and forgotten and hurting, and we were dancing, and wherever we danced, it was like everything was in monochrome. It was like grayscale. And as we danced, the river of life began to flow and color happened and barren wildernesses began to burst forth into life and beauty. And Jesus looked into my eyes and he said, "Beloved, I know you'd love to stay here, but I'd love to have you here with me, but I can't have a wedding without a bride. And there's whole pieces of my bride that are missing in the nations. And will you go with me to be my face to them? Will you go with me to find my lost bride?" He's longing for his bride. He's longing for his bride in the nations.
Did he tell you what people groups are lost in his bride?
No, not specifically. Not specifically by name, but they're everywhere. There are pieces of his lost bride right here in America that we don't have eyes to see.
Give me examples of part of his lost bride.
I believe the New Age movement. The people that so oftentimes we in church are afraid of and run from, or we don't want to look.
How about the person with tattoos up and down their arms and so many earrings there's not even room to put anymore?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got it. The homeless man on the street corner, the Vietnam vet that, you know.
Out of curiosity, there's a homeless man that walks by my office. Mm-hmm. I see him maybe a couple times a month, mm-hmm. and he's deranged. I mean, and that's why, I mean, there's different reasons people are homeless. That's
sure.
Why he's so, I bought him a meal once. I gave him a couple of dollars. But I could see there wasn't much I could do for him. What would you do for him?
Well, I think I would look to see what Jesus was doing in the situation that I encountered him, but I would stop and see him. I'd stop and talk to him, and I would ask Jesus, "How could I be the face of your love in the moment that I'm in?" Because I think oftentimes people ask me this all the time. Don't you get overwhelmed by the need and by
sure.
the overwhelming, I mean.
Just the nation you're in Sudan. I mean, it's an unlimited need.
Absolutely. But we have a God with limitless love. And my love is limited, but his isn't. And he hasn't called me to love the whole nation at one time. He's called me to love the nation one person at a time.
Now, I've always thought when I've read the Gospels that the key, if you will, and I'm one of these logical people, one of my greatest advantages and one of my greatest disadvantages, the key, if you will, for the release of the miraculous is compassion. How can someone get this compassion more than they have? How can I have the compassion you have? I already told you before we went on the air, I want you to pray that I have that compassion.
All I really know is I spent the last 10 years asking for it and saying, God, I want to love with your love and I want to see with your eyes. And every time I step into a situation that stretches my compassion threshold where I want to run from and I don't want to see, I pray that prayer again. I say, God, I need more love. My love is too small. I need more of your love.
Are there times when you want to run because things are so overwhelming?
Of course.
Welcome to the human race.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's got to be, I know your call, but that's got to be a hard call to Sudan.
On one hand, it is. But on the other hand, there's so much joy in it. You know, Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. And so I believe when God gives us a call, even when it's maybe leads to a hard road, what appears to be, there's so much joy in seeing God show up and lives transformed that it's for the joy set before us. It's joy. And I am absolutely not a miserable missionary. I'm a happy missionary.
What's it like dancing with Jesus?
Freedom. It's like flying. It's like flying. It's like it's total and complete freedom. It really is. And dancing with him, I don't believe a plan's going to win the world and see him come back. But I do believe a dance will, as we dance with him through the harvest fields of his dreams.
Mishpocha, I'm talking to Michelle Perry, and we're making available this week Grace Williams' CD. You heard her all last week. Fire Fall. There is such a presence of God on this for soaking that it's become my favorite soaking music. It will be yours, I promise you, for a donation of $20. And we'll also include a brochure about Iris Ministry, Sudan. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.